upon the Lord, whom is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Amen. You may be seated. Sacrificial king. Unheard of before Christ. And after Christ, never heard of again. He was the only one. He's a different kind of king. Christ is king. What does that actually mean? Because we're hearing a lot about this now. It's something you see on X, Twitter, and things, and many people are talking about it. And it's a very important truth. It really is, because the world is going literally crazy out there. I did a deep dive into, you know, things going on in the last couple of days, and People are scared of World War III. They're scared. People are predicting a major economic crash, a depression in the next year. World War III, depression, economic crash, new virus coming out. What else were they scared of? I mean, it was just one thing after another. They're predicting this 2026. And as you read it, you get like, man, there's no hope. Oh, yeah, the other one was AI, artificial intelligence. They think AI is like what we call in an infant stage. It's called ANI, artificial narrow intelligence. That's what we have on ChatGPT when you go on YouTube and you ask questions. It's narrow AI. But they say they can control that, but they're going towards AGI, artificial general intelligence, meaning AI is as intelligent as we are as humans, but perfect, because it doesn't make any mistakes at that point. Today, AI can make some mistakes because it'll generate a picture with a person with, what, six fingers? It makes mistakes. It's still technically smarter than us because it can access all this information quickly, but it still makes mistakes. Something a human wouldn't make mistake if someone was painting a picture, not going to paint six fingers. But see, if it gets to AGI, it's as solid as we are, but perfect. And knowledge, wisdom. Well, let's say knowledge. And they think, I was listening to an expert on this, and a couple of them said, they're going to get to AGI this year. By 2027, we have AGI, so it's going to happen sometime in this year. And AGI, they said, once it gets to AGI, because it's already doing, AI is already doing some lot of crazy and scary things. AGI can jump to ASI, artificial supreme or superior, what is it? Super, that's right. Artificial super intelligence. And that's when it's smarter than us. And it knows it. And it's self-aware. And people are saying it's going to kill everybody. So when you listen to all these guys, and I listen to multiple experts saying we have to stop trying to make more AI better, and no one's going to. Everyone's a race right now in the world. So after listening to all that, there was like, man, there's just no hope. And if you don't have Christ, you don't. You just have all those crazy things that might happen this next year. But for us who understand and know Christ, who know Jesus, we don't have to be tossed to and fro and worried about all those things. So today, I told you last week we were going to finish up Christ as King. What does that actually mean biblically? Because so many people are using it. And remember last week I talked about how people are taking it in a fraudulent way. And they're saying Christ is King, but the Christ they're saying is King to them is not the Christ of the Bible. It's not Jesus. They're hijacking Jesus for their own political purposes and to support their anti-Jew views. And so go to the next slide there, Levi. So that's what they're all about. They're remaking Jesus. They don't like, really, they literally don't like the Jesus of the Bible. He's not good enough to them. He's got to be these things. And what is ironic here? The people today, that are especially America First, Saving America, what is ironic is that they're making Jesus into this political savior, which was the very mistake the Jews made with Jesus when he came. They were looking for a Messiah who was a political figure, who was going to kick Rome out and restore their nation, save the nation of Israel. And Jesus, the first coming, the Bible says, wasn't coming as the king. He was coming as the suffering servant to save them from their sins, which was a much greater need they had. They didn't realize it, but their need to have their sins forgiven was much more important than saving their nation. they were under, and they still are, and all people who are outside of Christ are under the judgment of God. And it's going to fall on them one day. The righteous judgment of God is what we need to be saved from because of our sin, not having our nation saved. So they're making the same mistake the Jews made. And remember, this was so indwelt inside the Jews that the Messiah was a political savior. Even his disciples did not see and understand fully what Jesus was doing, even after the resurrection. Let me show you the book of Acts. Therefore, when they, the disciples, had come together, they asked him, this is Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So he had resurrected, been with them for about 40 days. And they're like, okay, is it time now? It's all about Israel, right? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. You see, it wasn't at that time to restore Israel. Now, notice Jesus did not say, no, you guys got it wrong. I'm replacing Israel with the church. He didn't say that. He didn't say, no, you guys don't get it. Most of the Jews rejected me, so I'm dropping Israel and I'm breaking the covenant I had with Abraham. And I'm replacing them with the church. He doesn't say that. He goes, no, it's going to be restored, but that's in the Father's time. And until that happens, here's what you're going to do. You're going to be my witnesses. Starting in Israel and going out to the entire world. My witness is to tell the world that there is their biggest problem, their greatest need is to have their sins dealt with. To get right with God so God does not have to judge you. And then the church began. But the Jews of the day thought their Messiah should be a political one. They still think that today. And so they missed out on Jesus. And today people are making Jesus into a political pawn to suit their agenda. And they're missing the mark and they're going to miss out. Because, you see, to have Jesus really as your king, first he has to be Lord of your life. Let me show you. Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It doesn't say Jesus. It doesn't say Jesus Christ. It says Lord Jesus. That word Lord means supreme in authority, owner, master. Jesus is God. He is the one that created all things. He owns all things. The Father will give him all things. We'll see that here in a little bit. He's supreme. All the nations will be handed over to Jesus. Right now, he's the Savior. He's the Lamb that all people and all nations can come to and be saved. But soon, he'll be the judge, the ruler, the king. And not just any king, but the King of Kings. Confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus. The person who truly believes in Jesus Christ and understands who he is, who is born again, understands that Jesus is God in human flesh, who came and lived the life we couldn't, who is the perfect Lamb of God, who died in our place, resurrected from the dead, and now is our only hope to have our sins forgiven, to be restored back to God, reconciled back to the Father, and who will return as King. But you understand that because he purchased you with his life and because he is God, he is your Lord, he's your owner, he's your master, he's the supreme authority in your life. So now your life after coming to him is according to him. It's according to his ways. It's no longer about your agenda or what you want. It's about what he wants, because what he wants is what's best. And we align ourselves to him. Our will aligns to his will. And we seek to obey him and live our lives according to what he has put in the scriptures. That's how you know he's truly your Savior. If you call Him Savior or King, but you don't seek to obey Him, you don't seek to do His will, and for us it's to be His witnesses, to go out into the world. We are baptized into the church. The church is the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Christ. If you seek not to do those things, then you're showing that your heart hasn't been changed, that you're not born again. If you call Him Lord and Savior and you don't do what He says, remember what Jesus said to those people, and I showed you, I think, this last week. The verse that says, Lord, Lord, or He says, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? Because He's not really Lord. A truly born-again person who truly believes in Jesus Christ, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the saving faith of Abraham, does what Thomas finally did. Remember doubting Thomas? He refused to believe, but when he saw Jesus, he believed. Remember what he said? John 20, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. And that's good. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But you see what Thomas calls him first? Lord. It's supreme authority of my life. My owner, my master. Thomas got it. He purchased me. And then he says, my God. And you realize Jesus doesn't correct him. Why would Jesus not correct this statement? Because people say, oh, Jesus never said he was God. The Bible doesn't teach Jesus is God. Yes, it does. And here Thomas calls him God and Jesus doesn't correct him. Why? Because he is God. He doesn't correct him on Lord because he is Lord. Before Jesus can be your king, and this is what we were talking about last week, don't align yourself to someone just because they say, oh yeah, Jesus is my king, or Jesus is king, or Christ is king, because it may not be the same Jesus you're talking about. Christ is king is a biblical truth, but it's not what people are claiming it is today. That it's all about saving America and fulfilling your agenda, your political agenda, your whatever you're about. Christ is king is about getting what you want, not what he wants. And this is why so many people are missing the mark today. So let's look at what the Bible literally means when it says Christ is king. And it's not to save America. Christ is king, when you look in through Scripture, and I could give many, but for sake of time, I only gave a couple. When you look at Christ as king, it's always in reference to what nation? Israel. Every time. Look at the Gospel of John, John 1, verse 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And again, if you say in context, you read that, Jesus doesn't correct that. You see, when people say false things, and false things are recorded in Scripture, the best example of that is the couple friends that Job had. They gave bad counsel. And God corrects it. When people, it's recorded, everything's recorded here. And if people say something wrong, God corrects it. But you see in these statements, you're the king of Israel. Jesus doesn't go, no, you got that wrong. No, he is the king of Israel. John 12, verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. You see, these people who are claiming, and we've talked about one part that's saying Christ is king as they hate the Jews, and they're saying Christ is king as a way to stick it to the Jews. Well, Christ is king is King of Israel, the Jewish people. If God Almighty in human flesh is the King of Israel and you hate the Jews, how do you think that king who is supreme in authority is going to feel about you? I wouldn't go there. That's a dangerous place to be. You see, this king of Israel is exactly what was said about him at his birth. Remember Luke chapter 1. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David," King David, the greatest king in Israel. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham that was unconditional. Then it went to Isaac. And then it went to Jacob. And Jacob's 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus was born for two things. First, to be the suffering servant of Israel. And second, to return as king of Israel over the house of Jacob. And his kingdom, there will be no end to this. When he returns and establishes himself as king, it'll be no end. The house of Jacob, his father David. Jesus is king of the Jews. Revelation also backs this up. Revelation chapter 5. "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep, John. Behold, the lion.'" Now, lions have always been used as symbolic of kings. "The lion of the tribe of Judah, the Jews. The lion. The root of David. The descendant of David. Royal blood. Has prevailed to open the scroll, to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and on the four and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain." Jesus is the lion of Judah, the root of David. These are not descriptions of the church. Christ is king over the literal nation of Israel. And that's why she's back in the land. And that's why she's not going to go anywhere. And Christ is going to return to her for the second time. And when he does that, he returns as the king of Israel on the throne of David in Jerusalem to be king of kings. And his government will be established in Israel, but it'll extend everywhere on the world. Let me show you that when that moment happens. Revelation 19. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And the righteousness, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." This is Jesus Christ. Verse 14, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations." The word of God. God speaks, it's done. The nations, he strikes the nations. He's returning to a rebellious world who has finally rejected him so much that no one wants to be under his reign. And he comes and he takes and strikes the nations by speaking. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Remember that phrase. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, Jesus is coming back to be that. First, he came as the Lamb. All people can come to him. Whosoever can come to him and be forgiven and have all the mercy and love of God poured into your life. Or you can stay in rebellion, make Jesus what you want him to be to serve your purpose and believe in some false version of him. And then you will receive this strike. You'll be there. This sharp sword from his mouth will strike the nations. the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God's judgment. That's for those who may call Christ king, but he's not their Lord. God just has to speak. And the nations are, he strikes the nations, which includes the United States of America. The Lamb of God has become the Lion of Judah, bringing the wrath and judgment of Almighty God as Jesus returns as the King of Kings. And remember that rod of iron? Let me take you back to Old Testament. Psalms chapter 2. Great psalm. Listen to this. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, all caps, Yahweh, God, and against his anointed, his son, Christ, the Word. You see, the rulers of the world get together and go, hey, we're not going to have God rule over us. We're going to do our own thing. It's not just the rulers that do this. It's everyday common people. They hear the gospel, they don't care about their sin. Or they believe in something false that God won't judge their sin. Or God is love and everyone goes to heaven and blah, blah, blah. You have all this false stuff. Not what this says. Christ is Lord, King. They'll say it. But he's not Lord. Verse 3. They say, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. The word of God. They're not going to obey it. They don't care about it. They're going to change it. They're going to deny what it says. It's just, they're going to live life according to their own desires. They're going to cast this away. But look at what God says, or does. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. It's like, really? I created you. And now you think you're going to just do your own thing? I'm the supreme authority. It's just this laugh of unbelief. Like, how crazy can you be? But see, that's what sin does to us. It's the pride. We're not going to do what you want to do us to do, God. That's pride. It blinds us. It makes God laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Verse 5. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath. You see, you can have God speak to you in compassion and love through the Lamb, or you can have him speak to you in wrath. You get to decide. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king, God's saying, I've set my king, my son, on my holy hill of Zion, Israel. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, the son was given so we could have forgiveness and eternal life. But that same begotten Son will come back as God's King in Zion against all those who rebel. Verse 8, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Jesus owns it all. And notice here where churches, some false churches are saying that the church has to control the world, has to make the world like heaven-like conditions, and we got to take dominion over the earth. And then we, the church, us, how great we are, we're going to hand the nations over to Jesus. Jesus is so limited, he's not really God, because he can't come back until we take over. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God, the Father, hands the nations. And the nations are in full rebellion when this happens. And he strikes the nations with his very words. And look at this. Verse 9. You shall break them with a rod of iron. Remember what I said in Revelation? He'll rule the nations with a rod. He'll break the rebellion. He'll break the sinfulness. In rulers, kings, dictators, presidents, prime ministers, senators, congressmen, governors, mayors, down to their everyday person. He'll break. He doesn't want to do that. He is patient that none should perish in this, but all should come to repentance. But for those who refuse to believe, who want to do their own thing, want to say, cast this off us. I don't want to obey the gospel. I don't want to obey God. Okay. But the day of reckoning is coming. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. It's that Middle Eastern custom when they kiss on the cheeks and it's embrace. Kiss the Son. Embrace the Son. Lest he be angry. Remember, he's the Lion of Judah now. When this takes place, he's the Lion. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. See, he's coming back as king of Israel, but he's going to rule the whole world. And that's what Isaiah said when he foretold about him. Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, and that is yet to happen, and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's a done deal. God says, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. No matter what the kings and the rulers try to do. No matter how Satan wants to try to undo this and cause it not to happen. It's going to happen. Jesus talked about this moment he returns to establish his government. In Matthew chapter 24. Jesus talking here, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the earth will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Why will they mourn? Because they've been in rebellion, and they continue to be rebellion, even through the tribulation period. They don't repent, and they're going to stay in their sinfulness. And now the sun is coming, and they're not happy. Again, it goes against the dominion false theology that the world has become like heaven and everyone's in the church and we're, all right, now Jesus can come back. No, the people are mourning. They don't want it. He's about to speak and strike the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he'll send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds and on one end of heaven from another. He also gives a lot more details, but I want to skip to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. When he comes back, he is the king. And he's the king of Israel. And from there, he is the king of kings for the world. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another. This is a very interesting judgment. It's not the final judgment. It's called the separation of the sheep's and the goats judgment, or the judgment of the nations. It's nations, it's people. It's very interesting. I don't have time to break this all down, but just listen to this. He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now all we got time for is this. The sheep, enter his kingdom. It's an amazing kingdom. The goats into hell. This is what it means to say Christ is King. Christ is King is not about saving America. It's not about America first, and it's not about supporting your Jew hatred. Now, I know that doesn't describe anybody in here, I'm just saying. He is King of the Jews. Like I said, it would not be very smart to hate on the Jewish people. It's not going to end well for you. Christ is King is about a righteous God setting a sinful, rebellious world back in order. Jesus is King is a true statement. It's a biblical statement. But you have to understand it in context of what the Bible says. But if he is not first your Lord, your Savior, then he is not your King. You may claim it, but he is not. He will not be your King. He will be your judge. There's only one way to make Jesus your King. You first come to him as Lord and Savior of your life. We already read the passage in Romans. Let me show you this right before we take communion. John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. In a few minutes, we will partake of that bread symbolically. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, you have to come to Jesus, will never hunger. And he who believes in me to have faith shall never thirst. Verse 41. The Jews then complained about him. Because he said, remember, they're looking for a politician, a political leader. They're not looking for a savior. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Verse 51 says, Jesus responds, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now we know this is Jesus talking symbolically, and is talking of the cross. He's talking of the cross. There we go. This is his flesh. This is his blood. Now, taking communion, or what others call a Eucharist, the Catholics call a Eucharist, does not save you. It doesn't cleanse you. It doesn't give you Jesus. Jesus comes when you, as a sinner, repent and put your faith in him and come to him between God the Father and you, there's Jesus Christ, the Mediator, and you call it in faith the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Turning from your sins, you seek that forgiveness through Christ. That's receiving Christ. Communion is just remembering what Christ did for us. But this is the bread, this is the blood. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? You see, a lot of people are offended with the biblical Jesus. He's not about what they're about. He's about being the church and sharing being witnesses to the world. They're about America and or Israel and all these. They're about themselves. They're about the good life. Jesus, bless me. Make me healthy. Make me wealthy. They're offended with the biblical Jesus. So they change him. Verse 63. Jesus said, listen, I know it's hard to understand, but it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I'm speaking to you are spirit. I'm not saying literally eat my flesh and drink my blood, but understand that I must be your sacrifice. You need a sacrifice. You need the perfect sacrifice that I am. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. You must believe, must have faith in Jesus' death on the cross for you. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew that from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him by my Father. All can come. Jesus died for the world, but the Father has said, you will come to the biblical Jesus and you will come in only one way, in repentance and faith. Kiss the Son. This offends many people. It offended these people. John 6, 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. I find it ironic. The verses weren't there when John wrote this. The verses were added later when the Bible was canonized. So I could say to a group of people, go to the Gospel of John. Go to chapter 6, verse 66. But I find it very interesting that this verse has the reference 666. They weren't getting their way. They didn't care about their sins. They wanted Jesus to restore their nation. They wanted to force him to be king. If you read in here, they try to make him king to do what they want. That's what people are doing today. John 6, verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, all the disciples walked away, a whole bunch of them. You know, we know he had at least 70 at one point, but he probably had more. They all left but 12. And he turns to the 12. He says, do you want to go away? Do you want to join them? And we know what Peter said. He said, Lord, where can we go? You are the one that has the words of life. Next slide, Levi. This picture of Jesus is probably my favorite depiction of him. To me, it's a Savior who loves us. Loves us too much to take our free will away. He never forces anyone to do what they don't want to do. But a Savior who wants to save, but so many refuse to let him save them. They won't humble themselves. They want what they want, and it's not Jesus of the Bible. They don't care about their sin. And there's the Savior. There's the hope. If Jesus is Lord of your life, meaning you have humbly come to Him in repentance as Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and from that moment forward, your life changes. Your life seeks to be obedient to Him according to the Word of God. Not church tradition, not religious traditions, not according to what you want, but according to biblical standards to do His will. If that is you, then Jesus is your King. But if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, if you do not seek to be obedient to Him, then He is not your Savior and He's not your King. And if you stay the course, that course, He will become your judge. Today, do you have Jesus as Lord? Are you content with just the biblical Jesus and the salvation He brings? Or is that not good enough for you? You want more. If you want more, I would really encourage you to think about it really hard. Jesus is salvation. It's everything you need. That's all you need. And if you have Him, you can deal with anything in this life. You can deal with anything in this life. We're going to go over just a few minutes. Ushers, can I have you come forward for communion? If Jesus is your Lord, your Savior, then when we pass out communion, remember what this King, who this King is and what He has done for you. And as the last song we sang was the sacrificial King. And the sacrifice was His life to save you. Because He loves us that much. Thank you. It's been our custom. We'll set a cup over here and a wafer to represent those who have not yet heard the gospel, but hopefully will. And they'll come to a saving faith and join us as a brother or sister in Christ. Jesus took the cup and said this, He took the bread So this is my body which is broken for you. The flesh we're to partake. This is my body. It's broken for you. Put upon that cross. The body that was beaten, whipped, spit upon, pierced. For our sins. Eat and remember him. Then he took the cup. So this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the blood that is shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Drink and remember him. Come on up, team. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you that you are King, and we understand what that means. But before you bring your kingship to the earth, you brought yourself as a servant, as a lamb, as a humble, humble person to die for the sins of the world. Most kings ask their servants to die for them. You came and died for us. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. You truly are the King of Kings. And I pray that we will start this new year as your church, as your people, remembering who we serve and why we serve you. And that life is to be about you. We're to serve your cause. We're to be your witnesses. I ask you to help us to remember. Always remember what you have done for us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I just got to again stand up. We'll go over 4 minutes, and we'll be out of here with this song. Let's go. This is a great song. This is a great way to end the service. Go ahead. Go.
Those walls that we call sin and shame, they were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are up now. Remember those giants we call death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God.
Amen. 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 God is good. Thank you for letting me keep you over a few minutes. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope you have a good year. Those that are having a hard time, we are praying for you. We are here for you. And for y'all, you guys, pray for the body. A lot of heartache right now. All right, Team Jesus, let's break out of here. We got a week ahead of us. New week, first week of the year. Let's go see if we can be salt and light. Let's go be His witnesses. Let's break out of here on count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.